news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us for Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The sermon you'll hear today was recorded during one of our Sunday morning services. As you're listening, if you have questions about the sermon, text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. You've joined us today for a special message from our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar. It is titled, Delivered from Darkness. When we talk about being a Christian, we often refer to church attendance or behaviors or worship, or maybe service to God. But do we recognize who we were or are apart from the grace of God in Christ? Do we truly understand what God did to bring us to salvation? Join us now for this message from our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar.
The title of my sermon this morning is Delivered from Darkness. Delivered from Darkness. So today, if you're following along with your handy dandy Bible, I would keep your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 1. We'll be in there a little while. And when I say a little while, I mean for the entire chapter. So we're going to be dissecting what it means, because right in the middle of Colossians chapter 1, I believe, is the heartbeat of the entire chapter. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. No longer being bound by sin and shame, because shame and guilt are done. The grave is overwhelmed and death is dead and gone for us as believers. So the Apostle Paul primarily wrote the book of Colossians to spur the believers in Colossae to hold steadfast to their firm foundation, which is our firm foundation, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's the only foundation that's worth putting our stake in the ground in. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, important, he's the guy writing this, the Apostle Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. That's so important. God has called the Apostle Paul for this specific work, to write not just this letter, but all 13 letters in the New Testament, and Timothy, our brother. Remember, Paul discipled Timothy, and Timothy is co-laboring alongside Paul. This is the fruit of discipleship, the fruit of pouring into another. To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So you see, this was a common greeting that Paul often used as he was writing to different churches. And I want us all to catch this. This is so important, guys. He is writing to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. There's a special love that God has for his children. He loves the whole world so much that he sent his one and only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's very true. But there's a special kind of love that God has for his church, for his bride. And we're seeing this here. This is an in-house letter, if you will, for Christians only. Can non-Christians benefit from the truth that I'm speaking? Yes. But this is really an in-house, in-camp Christian letter written to the faithful brothers and saints in Christ. So Paul is not writing to unbelievers here. He is writing to the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. Paul primarily served as a missionary in the Middle East and Europe, writing to the Colossian believers while under house arrest in Rome. Very important context here. And it was the capital of the Roman Empire, actually. And Colossae was actually a market town located 100 miles east of Ephesus, okay? And of course, we know the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. So these saints have been delivered from darkness, transferred into the marvelous light of his beloved Son. So, verses 3-6. We always thank God. This is important. We always thank God. That's a heartbeat of Paul's letters, to pray without ceasing, to pray for the bride of Christ, to in all circumstances give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So we always thank God when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. There's a special love again, right? And we also see this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. To do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. It's the same heartbeat, the same guy, brimming with excitement and gratitude and fervor. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, I love this, it is bearing fruit and increasing. It is bearing fruit and increasing. Even in our crazy, nuttier than a Snickers bar world, our God is moving. Everywhere, the local high schools and middle schools. I'm there every week. I hear reports. God is saving. God is transforming. The news is not going to cover it, believe me. But God is at work, and Satan is at war because God is at work. So the church is bearing fruit and increasing in America, Indonesia, Africa, South Africa, China, South Korea, North Korea, Vietnam, India. The church is exploding. But you're not hearing about it, are you? It is bearing fruit and increasing as it also does among you. God's at work here at Grace Emmanuel Church, isn't he? He's at work. He's doing a mighty thing. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. So I want us all to notice here. Paul starts this portion of scripture with gratitude. And I want you to listen and catch the posture of Paul. He's a living embodiment, a living exemplary example of what it practically looks like to be grateful to God. But I want us to catch this. We thank God when we pray for others. That's why we keep hyping up prayer meeting. Is it the only place to pray for other people? No, but it's a good place to do that. And this isn't guilting any of you. But maybe, just maybe, you'll realize, we'll realize that when we pray for other people, that God does a mighty thing, that God does a mighty work, that God is well pleased when we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul is praying for the church at Colossae. And what is he specifically praying for? He is thanking God that the church is bearing fruit and increasing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember that precious day when your faith became sight? We all have that story in this room, don't we? That day that you were delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into his marvelous light, and your life was never the same. My life was never the same. Some of you have heard me tell the story of my salvation, and I don't know how good this photo is gonna be right over here. It's blurry, but it's okay. I literally found the video. My wife dug and found it. Remember I talked about the professional wrestler who shared his testimony and I gave my life to Christ? That's the live footage. There he is, Mr. HBK Shawn Michaels in 2006. And he's sharing the gospel, how he used to be a punk. He used to be a jerk. He used to backstab people in the locker room. And instead, God saved him and transformed him. And now he was leading Bible studies in the locker room. And God was doing a mighty work. So I stumbled upon the channel. And I may have stayed originally to watch Shawn Michaels, but I ended up leaving with Christ, the hope of glory. He explained the Romans Road and the sinner's prayer. How to be saved, how to be born again, how to be transformed from the inside out, right here on national television. He talked about the God-shaped void in his life and in his heart. And I knew there was a God-shaped void, but I didn't know what it was until he started sharing. And God used him. And that day, I repented of my sin, went into my closet, not even knowing that was in the Bible, and gave my life to Christ, repented of my sin. I was being transferred from the domain of darkness into his marvelous light. In 2006, that was the beginning of YouTube. I know, I'm showing my age. I know I'm still young, I guess. I tell Dennis Perrault I'm an honorary geezer, but I guess if I remember YouTube, I'm not really. And I remember just typing Christian worship, psh, and Jesus Paid It All was the first song that showed up, that old hymn. And I started singing it to God with tears in my eye. So God clearly revealed to me my sin. My heart was being softened to the truth of God's word. I've made plenty of mistakes since then. Ask my wife, ask my parents, ask my friends. But I know this for certain. I'm not the same person that I used to be. God has changed me from the inside out. And if you're a Christian in this room, that's your testimony. Amen. God has changed you from the inside out. There's a new will, new desires, new spirit-led inclinations that God has given you that can only give God the glory. Because in our flesh, we are wretched people. We are self-oriented people. But when God comes and saves and changes our life from the inside out, he gets all the glory. Supernatural change happens. The saints of God are edified. God is glorified. In the heart cleansing that we need is satisfied in him and in him alone. As a Christian in this room, we have the testimony of hating sin, loving holiness, pouring into others a measure of what God has poured into us. God has given me a clear ministry and passion to joyfully obey Jesus as everything else properly flows from underneath that. To love my wife well as my first ministry. If I don't do that well, it doesn't matter how much I blab up here. I want to love and serve and care for my wife, the love of my life, my better half, Dallas Rosemarie Magar, shout out. And then after that, I want to pour into my family. I want to pour into my friends. I want to disciple middle and high school students. This is not to make it about me. I want you to find yourself in that story. What has God called you to do? If God has called you out of darkness and has brought you into his marvelous light, it's for a great eternal purpose. But it all starts with coming to the end of yourself, renouncing yourself, dying to self. The flesh does not want to hear that, does it? Dying to self, and then leveraging our lives for the glory of God. We've been delivered from darkness so that we may be a conduit that God uses to shine light into other people's darkness. That we would all collectively as one church in unison be walking in the light as he is in the light. Verse 7, this may appear like it's a throwaway verse, but it's not. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. This is not a throwaway verse. Every verse in God's word is profitable and edifying and good for teaching. Epaphras was somebody God used profoundly to impact Colossae for the sake of the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this small little market town 100 miles east of Ephesus, and God is doing a mighty supernatural work in their midst. Epaphras was delivered from the domain of darkness so that he would be a beacon of light into the lost and dying region around him. He loved Paul so much and the people of Colossae so much that he was once, I'm going to show you in scripture, he was once shackled and he was in prison alongside Paul. And he literally is walking, they say, between 1,000 and 1,200 miles to get these words that we are now reading in our Bible to deliver Colossians chapter 1. So Epaphras is with Paul. He was a man known for serving the Lord. We saw that here. He was a prisoner alongside Paul. We see that in Philemon 1:23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. So Epaphras's life and ministry was marked by humility. He was perfectly content with serving the Lord behind the scenes without much fanfare. It was Paul who brought up his name to the forefront, not himself. Let God elevate you, right? The old scripture, right? Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, right? And those who humble themselves will be exalted. That's God's economy. That's God's way of working. So Epaphras chose to please God, because we can either please God or please man. And Epaphras chose to please God. He chose to serve and honor and please Christ. He taught the word with a true, honorable fervor and zeal that brought people into the household of faith. Think about the amount of people that God has used. Colossians, he's used that book to bring people into the kingdom fold, citizens of heaven, glorifying our Lord and Savior. We must study and know the word, because there's a test that can come at any moment. And just remember, we must know this. Our mission dictates our decisions, not the other way around. Every believer has received truth to be passed on. What good is it to be delivered from darkness if you don't share your story about what God's done in your life? God has changed you. God has changed me from the inside out, so that, as Paul would also say in 2 Corinthians 5, I love this, we are now ministers of reconciliation. So God has reconciled us, and now we're pouring into other people as that minister of reconciliation. Come be forgiven, come be restored, come be redeemed. And God gets all the glory that way, because we're his mouthpieces, we're his servants, his choice servants, for this very hour that God has called us to reach out and watch God do what only he can do. So, verses 9 through 12. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner, this is important, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We've been delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred into his marvelous light of his beloved Son. We are to be bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, not some power, church, but all power. And this power comes from above, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a mouthful. I could preach that for 8 weeks, but I won't. Don't worry. So I'll just say this. We're starting to see a pattern here. Paul is building to this great crescendo, this rock-solid case that prayer is the true backbone for every single Christian. We need him, folks. Moment by moment, hour by hour, we need him. Only God can truly satisfy the longings of our heart that we try to fill with anything else and anybody else. No idol, no false god will ever satisfy. Only the one true God will satisfy. So when we are delivered from darkness and we pray to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, God is faithful to answer that prayer. Remember, Jesus says to pray in alignment with the Father's will, and then he'll answer. So how do we know we're praying in the Father's will? When we're praying scripture, when we're praying what God has clearly commanded, not man's opinion. Here's what God says in his word. He blesses his word. He honors his word. He honors those who honor him. Have you noticed that principle? I sure have. Whenever any of us start to think that we're greater and better than we actually are, God has a way of humbling us, doesn't he? But he does it because he loves us. You've heard me say this before. God isn't punishing us, he's pruning us. He's drawing us nearer to him. And when we're drawn near to him, we're brought low in contrition and humility as we glorify and lift the name of Christ above every other name and any other name. So Paul's heartbeat, the entire premise of writing this letter, is so that the believers at Colossae would be strengthened in their walk of faith. Even when distractions and hardship comes, and I know it's coming, It's happening for a lot of us in this room, if we're being honest, in some way, shape, or form, that even when they come, that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that's the key, we can walk in victory over sin because we walk with Christ and he walks with us. And he works mightily in and through us to accomplish his great eternal work for his great eternal pleasure. James tells us to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Does that mean it's fun, like riding a roller coaster at SeaWorld? No. But when you're going through hardship, God is working in and through you. He is. He's revealing things. He's chiseling deficiencies in you and in me. Our trials strengthen the bond between Savior and saint. I know that even in this room, there is an abundance of testimonies and steadfastness. I've heard quite a bit of them, and it's awesome. God is at work in you, church. God is at work in me, church. And I praise God for that. We don't need to be thrusted into the throes of sin, but rather we must daily be thrusted into the presence of Almighty God, exclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world." That's where our heartbeat should be. That's where our joy should be found. Deep-rooted joy in the will of God, in the glory of God, in the renown of God. Verse 10 talks about bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm going to walk us through here because God tells us in Galatians chapter 5 what these fruits are. So here are some questions as we self-reflect together. This is very practical, but also essential to our growth in our walk with Christ. Love. Are we seeing others from God's perspective or ours? Joy. Do we currently have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, or has the world stolen it? Peace. Is the peace of God that passes all understanding our guide? Patience. This is an ouch, by the way, for me. Do we patiently endure hardship? That's really important. Because I can be the biggest baby in the world when I'm sick. Ask my wife. Any other husbands that are willing to admit that? Oh, honey, can you go get me a sandwich? I'm in pain, right? But we're supposed to patiently endure hardship for the sake of the glory of God. Kindness. Do we intentionally and habitually express encouragement to other believers? Because Romans 2:4, right? It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's his kindness. So as image bearers of God, are we showing kindness to other people, especially those of the household of faith? That doesn't mean be a jerk to non-believers. Love them. But there's a special love that God has for his bride. Goodness. Is the truth of God's goodness permeating our daily life's decisions? Faithfulness. Do we steward our time, resources, and energy for the work of God? Gentleness. Do we choose our words wisely in the midst of conflict? That's a call back to my sermon a few weeks ago, the power of the tongue. Self-control. Are we more often being tempered by the Holy Spirit or controlled by the flesh? Because as Christians, there's still this flesh that rages war every single day, doesn't it? So are we being tempered by the Holy Spirit or controlled by the flesh? My prayer is often this, humility, and I've heard it defined this way, power under control. I want God's power, but under my human control. That God has wired me, that God has wired you.
We pause from the broadcast to welcome those just joining us. You're listening to Grace Alive, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is a special message called Delivered from Darkness. Our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar, is sharing about the work of God to redeem us. On our own, we are not just neutral to God. We are hostile toward him. We are rebellious. We are under judgment. But God, in his great mercy, reached out at great cost to make forgiveness possible. If you have questions about the message or you'd like us to pray with you, text us at 772 205-605-6552, and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the contact tab at the top of the page to send comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar.
So now we're at the heartbeat, the middle of this text that I've been referring to all morning, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So God has rescued and redeemed us as believers. Domain is from the Greek word exousios, which can also be translated as power, authority, and strength. We have been delivered from the power, authority, and strength of sin. Sin does not get to have the final word in our lives as believers. Paul is referring to God's rescue of Christians from the power of sin and death. Church, this was a rescue mission. If you're saved, it's because God went on a rescue mission and saved you and saved me from the inside out. In addition, Paul says that God has transformed us from sinners, bound by sin, into new creations meant for heaven. The Greek word metatestesin is often translated delivered in English translations, but can also mean transpose or even translate. So this once again highlights God's rescue of the believer from the power of sin and its consequences. Sin has consequences. We all know that in this room. That's why there's blessings for obedience we see in Deuteronomy, and there's curses for disobedience. And it's because God loves us. He has set boundaries in play for our good and for his glory. It's like if you're a good parent in this room and a truck is flying 70 miles an hour on US 1, you're gonna protect your child from it. You're probably gonna scream and say, "Stop, come here." Whatever you're gonna say, there's boundaries because you love your child. God has boundaries for us because he loves us. He's not a cosmic killjoy. He's the greatest giver of joy that you'll ever meet and that you'll ever find. So beginning in verse 14, we see an explosion, a litany of truths that can be said of each one of us. This is who we are in Christ. So I want you to follow along with me as I pinpoint the highlights. And what I'm gonna ask, when I'm done reading this, I want you to keep it up, actually, and I'm gonna talk for a few more minutes. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God. I love this. The firstborn of all creation. Jesus is God. Martin Luther put it this way: God added to his divinity humanity. He's truly God and he's truly man. For by Christ, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Keep trucking along. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Again, that's a mouthful, huh? God gave Paul an incredible gift. So I'm gonna just kind of go dissect verse by verse here. Verse 14, if we can have it on the screen, that'd be awesome. In Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation, that is the specially honored first and only Son over all creation. Verse 16, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. They will all bow at the feet of Jesus. All things were created through him. All things were created for him. Verse 17, he is before all things. in Christ, all things hold together. Verse 18, he is the head of the body. As he goes, we should go. As the head moves, the body should move. We've been delivered from darkness, transferred into his marvelous light. We have been mobilized to do eternal kingdom building work while we're here on this earth. Whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do, may we do all things for his glory and for his honor. Verse 18, he is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead in everything. He is preeminent. Verse 19, in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Verse 20, he reconciles all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven. He makes peace by the blood of his cross. Church, this is what we believe. This is who we are in him, transferred from darkness, brought into his marvelous light. So when we are tempted to be in deep despair by the condition of this world, by people running headlong into sin that we love and care for, let's remember these eternal realities. Everything on earth was created by, for, and through Christ. Christ reigns. I remember a greeting that I have with a good friend of mine. He actually lives in Seattle, so you can pray for him. He actually works for Jeff Bezos, so you can pray for that too. But anyway, rocket company, Blue Origin, he actually works for him. My wife didn't believe me. You don't know a rocket scientist, so there he is. Anyway, but that's not bragging, but he loves the Lord. And him and I would always have a greeting. We still have it to this day when we see each other once a year for Christmas. We'd go and say goodbye to each other. I give him a hug, and I say, Christ is all. And he goes, Christ is all, brother. And it's a reminder that Christ is everything. He is all sufficient and he is perfect in all of his ways. Christ is the only preeminent, transcendent, supreme one. The Greek construction of this verse can also be translated as all things continue or endure by, through, and in him. All things endure in and by and through him. This presidential election coming up, it's important. All things endure by, in, and through him. All the wars, all the chaos raging on, all things endure by, in, and through him. He knows his body, and he is the great builder of his church. And he said that he will build his church, and the gates of hell will what? Woo! Come on. Preach it, somebody. Let us take a sidestep, if you will, to camp out in verse 17. He is before all things. In Christ, all things hold together. I'm sure some of you in this room, that maybe you're all over YouTube or all over different things, you've probably heard this before. Some of you, this might be brand new to you. I don't want to make assumptions. But I feel led to include this as a very powerful image. Many of you, some of you have heard of Pastor Louis Giglio. He's the pastor of Passion City Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And we've taken students to his youth camp, Passion Camp. So newsflash to the parents that haven't heard, we're taking students to Passion Camp next summer. So this is a really cool discovery, and I'm gonna give full credit to God who gave it to Pastor Louis. Verse 17 tells us, in him, all things hold together. So any of you heard of the protein laminin? Laminin, yes. Some of you already know where I'm going, but there's no other place I can really go here. There's a protein in our bodies called laminin that holds or provides stability to our epidermis, which is the outermost three layers that comprise our skin. It literally holds us together. Do you see where I'm going with this? Without the protein laminin, we would be little blobs on the floor, all right? He holds us all together. When you look at it with a fancy microscope, the cross, which represents the completion of making us whole again with our Heavenly Father, is the same shape of the protein that literally holds us all together in the shape of a cross. In him, all things hold together. Only through Jesus, 21 through 23. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. You were once this person. We were once this person, sons and daughters of destruction in the domain of darkness. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. That's critical, guys. Not shifting from the gospel. Staying the course, staying faithful to what God has called us to, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul is imploring us believers to live above reproach, to continue in the faith, being stable and steadfast in the hope of glory. You know why he does that? Because as human beings, even those of us that are saved, our flesh is bent toward disobedience. So God is calling us back every day. Come to me, run to me, submit under my authority. So for those of you that are deep in sin, I want you to know this. Jesus has come tailored to you as your soul cleanser. For those worried and rightfully so about the affairs of our increasingly evil world, Jesus has tailored for us a peace that passes all understanding. For those of you who are very sick or know somebody who is, Jesus has come tailored to be your advocate and sustainer in times of need. Our God is an ever-present help in time of need. Psalm 46, verse 1. So here's my prayer. God desires to use a contrite heart, a humble heart, a joyfully submissive heart. You catch that? Not just submissive, a joyfully submissive heart to the will of God. I don't have to do it. I get to. God has changed me. I want to go to the house of God. I want to meet with other believers. I want to pray for others and have others pray for me. I want to hear the word of God proclaimed. My prayer is that we would see maximum impact and fruitfulness for the glory of God. That we would say, God, your way be done, not my way. His way prevails, his way sustains, his way guides, his way supplies, his way multiplies, his way has no ceiling, his way has no limits. Ours does. So my prayer is that we would live a gospel-maximized, sin-defeating, holiness-encompassed kind of life. And now we're coming to the end. Summary synopsis of Colossians chapter 1. I told you it wouldn't be so bad. It wasn't a little bumpy ride at times, but we got it. We made it. Here we go. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. For the people that would be reading it in Colossae, even now, it was for our sake. So maybe there's different hardship that you're going through and that I'm going through. And this is not fun to hear, but ultimately it's to bring God glory and to edify other people. Because maybe you're the conduit that God's going to use through your hardship, through your difficulty to bring him glory. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. That is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's the goal. We're delivered from darkness, transferred into his marvelous light, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. The great purpose that God has called you and me is to know God and then to make him known, to share the truth of the gospel with everybody that we meet, that our scars are part of our story, and that God is going to web it together and intervene it for his great eternal pleasure and for our eternal good. Jesus paid a great price. And my prayer is that we would be transfixed on knowing Christ deeper, loving him more intimately, finding rest in the only one who can truly grant eternal rest, Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus is beckoning us right now to die to ourselves, to come to the end of ourselves, knowing that we can't quite muster up the strength and ability to accomplish eternal work. We need him. We need his blessing, his favor, his anointing that can break every yoke, as our old elder Jim McKeegan always says. To take off the yoke of burden, the yoke of this world, the concerns of this world. I know it's really hard, but rather we would find rest at his feet. We would find rest in the only place that can truly grant it. A yoke that is easy and light and steered and guided and directed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So my prayer is we would come to Jesus, submit under our Savior, and then run full long after him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. When we are faithless, he is still faithful. So here's what it all boils down to. Thinking about the church in Colossae, the early church. Here's the question we have to ask ourselves. Is Jesus just part of our life, or is he our life? Is he a component? Is he a little box that we have right over to the side? Or is he everything to us? We must self-examine. Only we know that. That's between you and the Lord. Is he like a belt buckle you put on, or does he define and encompass every facet of your life? When our identity is found in Christ alone, there and there alone, we find strength for a new day. Then we are able to soar on wings like eagles. In Christ alone, there is help in time of trouble. As the old hymn says, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's even good things, folks. I've heard it said before, and it's so simple, but it's so true. You take a good thing, you make it a God thing, it becomes a bad thing. I've never forgotten that. So even good things that God has called you to steward, may it never come to the place of God. May God alone be enthroned in praise in our hearts. My prayer is that we would orient our entire life for the renown and glory of God. We are not promised a cushy life where nothing hard will run headlong in our direction. It is actually quite the contrary. Hardship and persecution and suffering is a guarantee for every believer. But there is a promise and the joy of the Holy Spirit that will protect us. We sang this earlier, deliver us from all evil. God's will is that we would be delivered from darkness, not just in salvation, but in sanctification. God desires to continually deliver us from darkness. He is our strong tower. He is our all-sufficient Savior. And in through every crisis, raging storm, when we feel like the rug is being pulled from underneath us, Christ is more than enough. Christ is all and in all. May we wait eagerly for the fame and the renown of Christ. And that brings me to my life verse that I haven't said it in a while. Isaiah 26, verse 8. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truth, we wait eagerly for you, for your name and your renown are the desire of our souls. That his name, his fame, his renown will be the desire of our souls. We must daily deny self, take up our cross, and follow him. One of my heroes of the faith, John MacArthur, put it this way. The Christian life is not adding Jesus to one's own way of life, but rather renouncing that personal way of life for his and being willing to pay whatever cost that may require. We must never compromise in our Christian walk. Too many pastors have fallen and disqualified themselves from ministry. Too many Christians have brought reproach upon the precious gospel of Christ by acting one way at church and an entirely different way out behind the four walls. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not judging anybody. God's been convicting me of this too. As one of the pastors here in this church, my prayer is that we would all continue to grow deep roots in Christ and in him alone. We need him hour by hour, moment by moment, lest we fall. Take heed lest we fall. John Owen put it this way. If you've known me for a cup of coffee in 10 minutes, you've heard me say this. John Owen puts it this way. We must kill sin before sin kills us. So the only way we'll be able to withstand the headwind of the evil days present and ahead are to be led present tense by the wind of the Spirit. It is blowing now. Can you see it? Can you perceive it? The Lord is doing a new thing in and through our midst. He's separating the wheat and the tares. There's an obvious divide happening. Here's who's among us. Only God knows that. Here's who's really among us. Here's who's really a believer and a follower of the way. And here's who's just playing church. And my prayer is that each one of us, I'm just talking to me, and if you benefit, that's great. I want to be a person, a conduit that's truly living a life, exchanging my worldly pleasures and desires for the renown and glorification of my Savior. It's the only life that really matters. Renouncing yours for the sake of leveraging your life for glorifying His. So I believe God is stirring hearts here in this process. The church isn't a building, it's the people. We know that. But may Grace Emmanuel Church continue to be mobilized to take back enemy territory in the name of Jesus. Without Christ, we are stuck in the mirror and muck of the ugliness of our sin. But here's the good news, church. Christ has called us up from out of our graves. He's called us up from out of our graves. He's brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Satan has no claim on us. Satan is at war with us because God is at work. So when principalities come and they lie and spiritual warfare is running like a madhouse, know that God's at work and that this is the time to renounce ourselves for the glory of His name, putting to death the deeds of the flesh and living a life that's truly pleasing to God. If we are currently feeling stagnant, and trust me, I've been there, done that, have the t-shirt. If we are stagnant today or feeling like we're climbing a perpetual hill with an immense insurmountable incline, maybe it's because we're operating out of our own strength and intellect, which there is a ceiling for, as opposed to availing ourselves to the Master's use in His unlimited heavenly resources where there is no ceiling. The Father desires to remake us, to remold us. He wants to break chains in our life that have been holding us back for years. He wants to overtake the devil's influence over our lives. He wants to move the mountains in our life that seem impossible to bear and carry. That we would transfer our burdens onto His shoulders. He's big enough and mighty enough to carry it. God covered Adam and Eve's sin. He can cover yours. He can cover mine. Let's confess our sins to Him today. Let's draw near to Him today. Maybe some in this room have been going through a season of darkness, doom and gloom. I know that can be all too common in a sin, cursed, broken, fallen world. And God's perfect will is that each one of us would be delivered from darkness and brought into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when we see our place before God, may we see Isaiah chapter 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. We should be gripped. We should be humbled. We should stand in awe. May we never lose the wonder of the cross. In closing, the old hymn speaks to me. When I survey the wonderful cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count as loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me to come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here by grace, draw near and bless your name. May that be our prayer. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that this is true, that we can come before your throne room that you're faithful to hear us when we pray, that you are faithful to deliver us from darkness and to transfer us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Thank you, God, that we are not who we're used to be, but we're new creations in you. The old has passed away. The new has come. Thank you, God, for the supernatural work that you've done in each one of our hearts. We want to celebrate all you have done. Yes, is there room to grow and room to go? Yes. But I want to celebrate how you've been at work in all of our hearts in this room, in all of our lives in this room. That is our great testimony, that we were once sons and daughters of darkness, but now we are children of the Most High God, and we dwell in the shadow of your wings. So help us, mold us, conform us, shape us, use us, mobilize us. May we continually, daily, be delivered from darkness and brought and transferred into the marvelous light of your beloved Son. And I pray all this in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Nothing that you and I do makes us deserving of God's great grace in Jesus. Apart from the work of Jesus in our lives, we cannot stand before God. We invite you to join us for some discussion about the message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries.
This first chapter of Colossians is such an awesome passage, particularly 15 through 20 on my mind right now. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. I had a man say to me one time years ago, I can buy the fact that Jesus came from God. I just can't buy the fact that he is God. Well, now we have a problem, because that's kind of the whole point. The image of the invisible God, the word firstborn, not birth like we think of birth, out of, part of, same as, 16, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. There again, so important. Genesis chapter 1, when God said, let there be, who was saying that? Jesus was saying that. We often think of Jesus as the baby in the manger. But long before the baby in the manger was the God who stood on the edge of time, and out of his being came everything that exists. And that being it came out of was the same one who eventually laid in a manger as a baby. Jesus is the creator. And then this wonderful phrase that all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He literally sustains the universe. And that always struck me as amazing. That while Jesus is laying in a manger, he's still the one holding all the molecules in the universe together. So he's the creator, he's the sustainer, but there's the big deal. That creator and sustainer, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by his blood on the cross. The creator and sustainer loved us so much that he died. He came to this earth and he paid our sin penalty. He died in our place. The same one who said, let there be, hung on a cross and died for your sins because he loved you so much. And that should bring something inside of us just screaming forward. Yes, yes, there should be something inside of us. If that God loved me so much that he was willing to die, then I will run into his inviting arms.
I want to kind of camp out on really the heartbeat, the crescendo of this passage, in my estimation, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been delivered, which means that we are no longer under the power, authority, or strength of sin. Does that mean that we're sinless? Of course not. Only Christ is sinless, but we should be sinning less. There should be a difference in our heart and in our lives because of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. So we no longer live in the domain of darkness. It may be on the outer bay of our lives, but ultimately we're not giving in to darkness and to the darkness of sin. We are being transformed daily by the work of the Holy Spirit. We've been transformed from the inside out. We went from sinners that were bound by sin, and we are now new creations in Christ. We are not who we used to be. We now belong to God and to Him alone. So we are no longer under this bondage. We're no longer subject to the power of sin and its penalty. Rather, we are created and sustained by God. Remember, by Him, in Him, and through Him are all things. And that includes us. That includes our sanctifying work, God's sanctifying work, as we are working out our salvation day in, day out, drawing nearer to God every day as He first draws near to us, loving Him back, giving Him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor that is due His name through our holy living. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for saving us. Thank You for delivering us from darkness. Thank You that we have now been transferred into the kingdom of Your beloved Son. Help us as we savor and love and obey You all of our days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening today. If you are not in relationship with Jesus, you lack an eternal hope that you need. We want to see you find that hope in Jesus. If we can help, please text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. Victory as a Christian is only possible when we are connected to other believers. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of US 1. For more information, please visit our website. Our pastor has written several books designed to help you grow in your faith. The titles include Unmasking Revelation, Heaven, Spiritual Warfare, Jonah, and Peter. Please go to samchess.com, where you will find a brief overview of each book and a link to Amazon for purchase. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May you trust in Jesus this week. Please visit with us soon.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church. You've been listening to the Grace Alive radio broadcast. You can listen to our program Fridays and Saturdays at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO. Please join us and let us study together.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.